Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Stephen Manning. I'm the youth pastor here. Pastor Bruce is at annual conference for the Methodist Church, so I'm filling in for him. So it's great to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to stand up here and share the Word of God. And I said this last service, but I didn't butcher anything. I said this is my first time doing this, so if I screw something up, Diane can yell at me, but she didn't have to the whole first service. I think I'm safe for this service. Let's open in prayer, please. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day and for your power and your love for us and the sacrifice of your Son. We just pray that your Holy Spirit comes here and ministers to each of the people here where they are in their lives and just draw them to more. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Let's pass the peace of Christ on to your neighbor.
Good morning, church, and welcome. As you make your way back to your seats, again, I offer a warm welcome to all here this morning, and especially our visitors. Do we have any visitors? If you'd like to raise your hand and be recognized, we have visitors here in the front. Please make certain to greet our visitors. And also, if you would like information about our church, we have the ushers can give you a packet of information, or you can also find them hanging on the Shepherd's Crook in the narthex right outside the double doors. Also, again, a great big welcome to Pastor Stephen Manion, who will be preaching from the pulpit this morning. Please sign the red registration pads that are in the red folders. You can find them in your pew. If you are not a member of the church, please include your address so that we can, in fact, send you information and follow up on the life of our church. And also, if someone's sitting in your pew and you don't really know and you're not outward like me that would said, "Hey, I'm Tracy, who are you?" Just take a quick looky-loo at the name that they wrote down, and then you can just be suave and say, "Oh, well, hello there, good morning." But no, in all seriousness, those red registration pads are looked at for our registration count and also so that we can, in fact, warmly welcome our visitors. Also in those red folders, you'll find 3x5 index cards for prayer requests. If you do have a specific prayer request that you would like the pastor to note this morning, please bring those forward. In our announcements, we do have a few, just two quick ones. Our June hoagie sale, if you did purchase a hoagie for our youth fundraiser for camp, you can pick that up today. It is in the room off the narthex to the right out the sanctuary. And while I tell you a little bit about Vacation Bible School, I'm going to ask Jack to come forward. Vacation Bible School is July 17th through the 21st. It's held here in the evening, 6:30 to 8:30. Much help is needed. There's specific detailed information in our bulletin. Penny Brandt, who is our sound lady, along with her son Penny. If you want to take a quick looky-loo, she is waving. For those of you that do not know Penny, please see Penny for any help that you can give to the VBS fast approaching in the end of July. And now I have Jack.
That's fine. Morning, church. You know, next week is a really important day. Yeah, I know. It's Father's Day. No, it's also the work trip. We'll be leaving in a week from now. Time is flying by. And I'm here to tell you that the work you're doing has been fantastic. The food, we took all the food products that Patty had asked to put the bags out for last week. Everything had come in short of two, and there was two in the narthex when we came back for this service. So thank you so much for your support with that. My belly, as well as long as Pastor Steve's and all the rest of the team, will be very happy to enjoy those foods. If you were one of the bakers and you brought cookies for us today, we will take them. Patty will put them in the freezer. If you were one of the bakers and haven't brought the cookies, you can bring them next week. We'll take them with us on the trip. And I'm looking forward to that. I just wanted to bring to your attention that while our number that we have been, the amount of money that has been donated for the work trip has far exceeded what our the estimate was, there was an inflated number added to that before we even knew what the project was. So much so that I'm considering spreading that money over several years. And with that thought in mind, if you haven't yet, and Patty and I just did this today, if you haven't done something that you wanted to do in memory, in honor, or to the glory of God, for as far as building materials go, we would love to be able to represent those people. Another way you can do that is, if you, those of you who are here today, there's two pieces of wood that will be part of the ceiling joists in the room. You can put your name, a little note, and Isaiah, while he won't know it, will always have those above his head, keeping watch over him. I was in contact with Mike Miller this week, and he sent me a picture. They did the excavation at the house. It's not exactly what I was hoping to see, but dirt has been removed, and we will deal with what may be left to do. But I also found out it's something even more, and that is that the homeowner is going to dig the holes for the posts. Mike Miller laid it out based on my specs, and we're hoping that maybe we might have to shift the hole. We have hole shifters. You know, after 25 years of doing this, you have to own a hole shifter. So we have left-hand and right-hand hole shifters, so we're okay. The total amount that's come in so far as of last week has been $4,544.56. Again, if you have a need or a want to be able to donate to the cause through building materials, I guarantee those names will be placed on those items before they're put into the build. Okay. I covet your prayers. Patty mentioned last week that we're looking for good weather. Liquid sunshine will not deter us because God allowed man to develop tarps. And we have some big ones. So that will be one of the things that we will be looking and watching for. We covet your prayers, though. Continue to pray for this ministry. The shirt I'm wearing is our shirt for this year. And it says, God's work, our hands. Not the team's hands, our hands. This church's hands. For 25 years, this is our 25th build. I'm so proud of being part of that. And I know Rick would have been too. We have honored two members of our work team over the years with a lifetime membership to our work team. And I think it's fitting that we present them with their shirts on this 25th year of build. Sarah and Wendell, will you please come up? No finer example of God's work and their hands are Sarah and Wendell Campbell. A blessing to myself and Patty and to this church. God bless you.
Thank you, Jack, and certainly Sarah and Wendell and all of the team and the pastor and as Jack said, the whole church. This is the 25th year that he and his wife, Pat, have been the coordinators. And our work trip is, for those not aware, the church serves in the Philippi, West Virginia area. And the church has been providing for the 25 years. And what a wonderful gift this church gives in the Lord's name. I would ask and remind you to take a quick look at your bulletin for the other events in the church, in the life of the church this week. We also have a few other announcements. If you have any questions, certainly on any of that information, please do not hesitate to contact the office or the pastors. And now I ask you to turn your hearts and minds to worship. Thank you. stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Please remain standing for your hymn number 662 in your red hymnal. Please be seated.
Well, hi, guys. How you doing? Good. I remember this pretty headband on this girl. It's bedazzled. So, how many of you like superheroes? You don't like superheroes? What do you like? What do you like? Pretty ponies? You don't know? Okay, well, that's all right. Oh, you have something you like? What do you like? Superheroes. Good. That's what we're going to talk about right now. So, first of all, who knows who the girl superhero is, the most popular girl superhero? Yes. Wonder Woman. This is Wonder Woman right here. See here? So, who knows what Wonder Woman's superpowers are? Anybody know? Well, she's just a really good fighter. She's raised in the Amazon, and she has a lasso of truth. If she puts this lasso around you, you have to tell her the truth. Do some of you sometimes feel like your moms have the lasso of truth? They can tell when you're lying. My mom could when I was a kid. I don't know if I, like, have a tell. I look at the side or something. I don't know. But she could always tell if I was lying. Any of your parents tell when you're lying? No? You guys are all pros? Good. I hope you aren't lying anyways. Huh? He doesn't lie. So that's good. That's good. And then she also has an indestructible bracelet that she can block bullets with. Now, who knows? Let's see another one. Who's this guy? That's an easy one. Who is it? Superman, what are his powers? Shoot lasers out of his eyes? What else? What can Superman do that we can't do?
fly. And he can jump buildings in a single bound. And he jump really high. He can't jump buildings. Well, yeah, Superman has a lot of powers. Now, here's a hard one. I'm going to see. I bet. What's your name? Zachary. See if you can tell who that guy is. Good. Flash. The Flash is really what? What's a superpower? Fast. Good job. The Flash can run 700 miles per hour. Have any of you ever gone 700 miles per hour before? Who? Any of your dads maybe get pretty close when they drive? No? 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 Your moms? No? Okay. Well, there was a kid, Kyle's son last service put his head down, and I pointed Kyle out. Kyle must be a lead foot. But, yeah, so he's really fast. And one more. I bet you guys know who this is easily, and you'll know his superpower. The Hulk. What's the Hulk's superpower? Come on, that's an easy one. And strong. He can punch buildings. He can throw cars. He could run through this church through both walls and run on the other side without slowing down. Now, do any of you have superpowers? No. But I want to tell you that you actually do. Yes, you do. Because if superheroes existed, who would have made them? Who made everything? God. So God is really powerful, right? Stronger than any superhero. And he created you, and you all have Jesus living in you. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. So you have the life of God in you and the power of God in you. And God wants to do really, really big things in your life through you. To love others, help others, obey your parents, which is hard sometimes. So I just want you to know that God has really big plans for you, and he can use you in really big ways because he's God. So you guys are, in a way, as Christians, superheroes. Okay? Favorite superhero is Batman. All right, yeah, he's good. Although he doesn't have any superpowers. He just uses cool stuff. Yeah, cool gadgets. Oh, thanks. Okay. Who wants a piece of candy? I'm going to throw them at you. There you go. And the books. Okay, thanks. All right, guys, here you go. And what's the thing for again, Diane? I forget. Union Mission of La Trobe is what this is going for. Oh, yeah. Hey, guys, let's pray real quick. Sorry, I forgot. Diane already had to correct me. Hey, guys. Turn around. Okay, I'm just going to pray for them. I forgot to pray. Dear Lord, just bless these kids and help them to have good days and good weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sun, the ripe fruits in the garden, God made
Thank you so much, soloist Connie, and our music director, Diane Runser. Our word of God this morning is from the New Testament, the Revised Standard Version. The Bible is in the pew. We are reading this morning from the letter of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Hear James's words in his letter. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. The word of James. I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering.
Guys, thank you for these gifts, and I ask that you bless the givers and help them to know your provision, and I ask that you multiply these gifts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
seated. So, joys and concerns, as we go into prayer, what joys do we have today? Sunshine? Is that what I heard? Yeah, sunshine's nice. Okay, Jonathan and Carly were married yesterday, and I just got married this Saturday, and my wife's sitting right here, so that's a joy for me, gone right there. I'm afraid to clap up here with all the microphones. Anybody else? Yes, young lady with the awesome headband. I'm sorry? Okay, her mom's almost done with her pregnancy, so that is good. Do you mean that because you're going to have a kid, or she's going to be a little bit less stressed out, if you want to say that? Huh? Two babies. Oh, twins. Oh, boy. Yes?
Okay.
Great.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Cheryl, okay. With family? For family. So you said? Yeah, Pastor, I'll say that for Pastor, indoor plumbing, like Connie said. He likes to say that one. Okay, and for our joys, we say, praise the Lord. What concerns do we have today? Okay. Okay. What's your first name?
Terry.
Terry, okay. You'll have to have mercy on me. I'm not very good at names. I'm working on it. A lot of people to learn at once. I know yours, Peggy. She made me learn that.
Our young people, that they would stay away from drugs.
Yeah, Connie pointed out last service, too, that there's an epidemic. She heard there's an epidemic of drugs. And especially in Pittsburgh area, including Irwin, so it's definitely need to pray for that. Okay, we'll also remember our president and other elected officials and all the tension in the world right now. We're kind of a powder keg, and so pray for all that and for Pastor Bruce too. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Dear Lord, thank you again for your blessings and for all the healing, and that we do see your hand in our lives, and we ask that you continue to make that more and more apparent to us, and we bring our prayer requests to you. We bring Pauline and all the grieving from the death in that family, and we pray for Terry that on his herniated disc surgery coming up, that your hand will be upon him, and mostly upon that doctor's hand, that you just guide it. And help it to be done in the most perfect way possible, and help them to heal really, really quickly. And I also pray for our president and for elected officials and for just the unrest in our world and the tension and uneasiness. And I know we all sense it. And we just pray that you protect us and protect our country. And we pray for Pastor Bruce, that you revive him and continue to nurture him as he serves as our pastor. I just pray that everybody here, through my words and the sermon, will be touched and convicted and motivated. And so we join together right now in the words that our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right, everybody. Thanks again for letting me share the word with you, and it's an honor. And I want to ask: has anybody here ever done apple tree pruning before? Okay, I know you have, Dad. I was about to say that story. So in the house I grew up in, we had 1.4 apple trees and 2 pear trees. I don't know what we have now: 3 apple trees, a peach tree. My dad likes fruit trees, and I remember when we were younger, these trees would have kind of like littler apples, and they were all like real tight in bunches. And when apples touch each other, there's a greater chance of them getting rotting out. If one's rotten, it spreads it a whole bunch. And I remember when I was a kid, my dad shaking the trees to drop the apples. This is before we knew what we were doing. And he'd shake the trees, and the apples would come falling down like rain. And we were supposed to stand back, but my brother and I would think it was funny to try to run through. And sometimes get bopped on the head by the apples. But my dad, there were some Mexicans that were doing some work for our neighbor, and they told her that you need to tell him his trees are too big. They have too many branches. You remember that, Dad? And they were telling him, you need to make your trees smaller. And so Dad did some research and started pruning his trees the right way. And, of course, the apples got healthier and bigger, and everything, just the tree got healthier. Because bad branches or branches that aren't bearing fruit just take from the tree. They don't produce anything. And so that's what Jesus, not apples. They didn't have apples, I don't think, in Israel. But Jesus had pruning in mind in our sermon text, and which is in John chapter 15, 1-8. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Looks like I lost my page. So John 15. Now, keep in mind the whole pruning illustration, the branches that bear fruit and such. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. So in other words, they're already believers. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done to you. For this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So that last part, the last verse there in verse 8, where he says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. That's the reason that God saved you, so you could bring God glory in your lives. And that's the way you bring God glory, is by bearing abundant fruit. I want to kind of like start at the end, but put the ending at the beginning. I want to tell you what I think is coming. And what I think is coming is because we aren't bearing fruit like as God would like us to, and therefore a pruning is coming. We are going to be pruned as the American church so that we will bear more fruit, because that's what God wants. And so what I see coming in the not long future, and Pastor Bruce and almost every pastor I talk to can all sense this, is that a time of persecution is coming to the American church, where you'll have to choose between possibly your job and Christ, your security and being identified as a Christian. And I forget who was the pastor, James McDonald or somebody, said he thinks that 50% of the people who are presently going to church will no longer attend because it'll cost them. And the reason why I know this to happen is because it's always happened in church history. Every time usually people just don't do things themselves. God has to discipline us as children. And it says in Hebrews chapter 12, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? So God loves us, so he disciplines us. And it's a discipline of love. Not like, what are you doing? It's a discipline of love, so we'll start to bear abundant fruit for his father's glory.
Now, does anybody here own a business or used to own a business? Please raise your hand if you ever did. Don't be shy. Okay, the gentleman in the back with a tie on. Let me ask you a question. If you, at the end of every year, I guess fiscal year, what did you do? You would do an evaluation, right, of your business. And you'd say, what happened if you had a so-so year or a not good year? Would you just keep the same business plan? No, because then if you do the same business plan, what's going to happen? Same thing, right? And it's wise in business to evaluate your path. Evaluate, look at it. Okay, how are we doing? And if we're not doing good, we got to do something, you know, and change. And so it's the same thing with our lives as Christians. So we have to look at our fruits. Do we have abundant fruit or not? And if we don't, we do something about it, right? So I want to look at our fruits a little bit. And during the Holocaust, Hitler killed 6 million Jews through many ways of, you know, horrible ways and torture and just shooting all kinds of terrible ways. And people were so baffled after the war. How could these Germans, including someone called themselves Christians, sit there and watch these trains full of human beings being driven into these walls, the door closed, and hearing them scream in agony and smelling burning flesh and all? How could they do that? How could they just turn their eyes away from it? Now, in our culture, we have, since Roe versus Wade, we have a Holocaust that makes that look like nothing. 60 million human beings, babies, murdered, torn limb from limb, heads pulled off, brains, all that stuff. And it's worse than the Holocaust. 60 million. That's 10 times the amount of dead. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was during the Holocaust, said, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." We look at slavery in America back during the Civil War. Terrible thing. But you know there's a slavery way larger now. A slavery that's a $9.8 billion industry in the United States. And I'm going to tape where I'm saying this, but it's sexual slaves. Kids. And it's a way bigger than the slavery in the Civil War. And estimates put the victims into millions. We also have a culture that's very sensual. 1 in 4 kids by the age of 18 are molested now in our culture. Sorry. We have apps where you swipe right and left. You guys know I'm talking about Tinder. This horrible stuff that our culture is doing. And it's something that we've kind of been silent to. Divorce is sky high, breakdown of the family. We're dealing with gender confusion, redefining of marriage, redefining of sex instituted by God. There was an atheist speaker who was talking about moral imbalance in our country just 2 weeks ago on the radio. And he said that the Christian church used to offer a balance to it. To the way our culture was going. And he, an atheist, said they have ceased to do so. I just want to look at another fruit thermometer. And on any given week in America, 17% of Americans are attending a church service. Only 17%. Only 6% of churches are experiencing any growth at all. Across the whole United States, 6% of churches are experiencing. 96% of that growth is just transfers from other churches. So it would be like if this pew was one church and this side was another church, if everybody from that side, except for like 5, moved over to this side, that's not really growth. That's just shifting bodies to other buildings, right? And, you know, the 7,000 Protestant churches close every year in this country. The United Methodist Church is losing 100,000 members a year. Our region is losing 20,000 members a year. And only 38% of those members actually attend on any given Sunday. And I point all this out not to berate anybody, but to see the truth of the reality of our situation we're in. If we don't look at it square in the face, then we can't do anything about it, right? What's wrong with the church is not that Diane's not playing rock music, or that pastor doesn't stand the pulpit or whatever, or the music or the building or anything. It's the world can't see through our walls. We could have Billy Graham preaching and Elvis Presley back from the dead, leading worship, and people cannot see in our walls unless they're brought here, right? They have no way to know what's in here. And, you know, do you know who is the fastest growing church in America? And I use the word church loosely. Guess. No, what do you say? Mormons. The Mormon church is the fastest growing church in America. The average missionary, and each person serves as a missionary for part of their life, brings 4.6 people that become active members in the Mormon church each year. And so, there's more that actually come in and visit. The last church I was at, I figured out mathematically how many unchurched people the average person was bringing to church. And I figured out mathematically, I went back for years, the average member of that church brought one unchurched person to church once every 26 years. So I ask you, and sincere, I mean, how many unchurched people have you brought to church? And the Mormons are doing this with a false gospel. We have the power of God, the power of the living God in us, the same God that raised Lazarus from the dead, poured fire down from heaven to consume Elijah's sacrifice, that brought thousands to salvation daily in the church in Acts. That's the same God we have in this day. Gandhi, how do you say his name? Mahatma Gandhi. Gandhi saw the power of what he knew the Bible really well. He wasn't a Christian, but he knew the Bible really well. He thought Jesus was a prophet. And he said, "You Christians," well, first he said, "I love your Christ, I despise you Christians." And he said, "You Christians look after a document containing enough dynamite to blow all civilization to pieces, turn the world upside down, and bring peace to a battle-torn planet, but you treat it as though it were nothing but a piece of literature." And what he meant is, do we live radically what we claim to believe? And let me give you one example. And this is about salvation. Salvation is the number one thing that brings God glory. The ultimate fruit you can bear is to lead someone to the Lord, right? And if you really believe that someone's walking towards the end of their life, and the end of that life is like a cliff, and they're going to fall over that cliff to eternity in hell, then if you really believe that, if you saw him walking towards a cliff here, you'd run in front, "Stop, stop." But now we're like, you know, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't know if I know how to share the gospel quite right. I don't want to come across as pushy. Well, that person's walking towards oblivion. Like, I hate that I don't have more of like a awareness and passion for that. But we need to. So if we really believe that, wouldn't we live more radically in trying to lead people to the Lord? God's not going to stand by because he wants souls to be led to his son. He's not going to stand by. He's going to awaken us. And it's usually happened in history through persecution. But I want to read you the words of Jesus to the church. "You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its saltiness, it is good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. Wake up, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of God. I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one of them. So because you are lukewarm, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Remember what you have received and heard. Hold it fast and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you." Do you guys, and this is a sincere question, do you want revival? And you can answer me. Revival. Revival. Do you want to see this church again filled, including the balcony? Yep. I want to tell you something. It's really simple. Jesus told us the Great Commission. Did you know that 96% of people asked, if their friend asked them to come to church, said they would go in the surveys? 96%. If 100 people in all these services, if all of you guys' services brought one unchurched person to church each week, statistically 10% remain and stay, become active members. So you are talking 10 weeks, you would have 100 new members in this church, and not to mention the 100 more every single week that you are bringing. And that multiplies. God, we're not waiting on God. Sitting here hoping he'll move. He's waiting on us. He wants to do massive things in this community, in this city, in this world. And he's waiting on us. And the thing is that if we do not awaken, he'll wake us up. Because he loves us. I just want to close with a reading from the book of Revelation, and I hope this motivates you. It's not meant to be like, it's meant to motivate you like, wow, God really wants to do drastic things to this church in this world. And to see where we've, like in a business, see where, okay, we got to do something. Or this church will continue. You look at how many teens we have, how many kids we have in here. That's the future of this church in 20 years. This church won't exist. So I'm going to read this book of Revelation. This is John's description of the throne room of heaven. And as I read it, like you, hopefully if you're comfortable, if you're not comfortable closing your eyes, I'd like you to close your eyes and imagine the description as I'm reading it. And if you're motivated by what I'm saying and like, yes, Jesus, I want to be used like that. I want to have the boldness to invite someone to church who's not churched every week and see this church grow rapidly. And the church of Christ, the body of Christ grow rapidly. And just say that to him as you're approaching his throne. Ask him to move in you. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold in their hands. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures. Each of the four living creatures had wings and were covered with eyes all around them, even under their wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." I just sincerely hope you guys are motivated by this and are pressed into Jesus' presence. Because only when you abide in the vine can you bear fruit. Amen.
Please stand and join in our final hymn, 571, in your red hymnal.
For our benediction, the Great Commission spoken by Jesus, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen.